Brother Dana, brother mine, delivers you best worst case scenario podcast.
Welcome to Spooktober, a month of horror and ghastly tales to keep you up at night. Join us in the crypt as we explore Stephen King's Hotels of Horror.
Hotel del Coronado. Have you ever heard of that hotel?
No. It sounds like a tornado.
I think it means like the crowned or something like that in Spanish.
Hotel Crown?
The crowned or something. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish, but...
That would make sense, actually.
Why?
Because I think they have a room named The Crown in there, in the actual hotel. I think it's a dining room.
So you have heard of it, and you know the fucking rooms in
it. I think I might know more about it than you, actually.
Well, let's start with the basics. It's across the San Diego Bay from... From downtown San Diego.
Don't you know?
And it was built in 1888... It's commonly referred to as the Dell because you know those Californians, they love their nicknames.
California.
Yeah, the Californians.
Yeah, surfer bars.
The idea was conceived by Hampton L. Story and Alicia Babcock Jr. Both of those people, Hampton L. Story and Alicia Babcock, they were both notable American entrepreneurs and... These two decided to construct an opulent resort hotel that would be known throughout the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
The architect, James Reed, designed it in the Queen Anne style of architecture, which means...
The architect of the Matrix.
Which means that it's known for its...
Vis-a-vis.
Picturesque turrets.
Concordedly.
God damn it. Its picturesque turrets, Victorian detailing, and... grand wooden structure. The whole thing is made of wood.
Well, how about that? That's and probably amazing for that time, right? It's all made of wood?
You'd think it could burn down pretty easy. So, the thing's massive.
That's what she said.
It has over 750 rooms.
Holy shit.
And the 28 acres of oceanfront property that the hotel sits on.
Wait, how many?
28 acres.
That's a lot of acreage.
It's had a ton of celebrities and presidents. It's been featured in lots of literature and film. In fact, L. Frank Baum, author of The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, did much of his writing at the hotel. And it's said that he based the design for the Emerald City on the hotel.
The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. He based the Emerald City off of the hotel.
No way.
Yep.
That's crazy.
But.
Oh, no.
Its legacy of more than 100 years is not without darkness. In November of 1892, a young woman checked into the hotel under the name Lottie A. Bernard.
Lottie.
The only thing was, this was an alias.
Lottie Dottie Doo.
Does sound like a made-up name, doesn't it?
Very. She might have well named herself like fucking McLovin McTitties.
Your doctor man, dude, mister. Damn it. Her real name was Kate Morgan.
That sounds like someone Tom Cruise dated.
But I'm pretty sure they were different. So she got to the hotel in November of 1892, and she claimed to be waiting for her...
Wasn't it? She got there on Thanksgiving Day? Checked in on Thanksgiving Day, which is a weird time. Kind of a sad time to check in, really.
Unless you're meeting your family at the fucking Coronado.
Unless you are, but what if she was alone, just being lonely?
That's what it sounds like, because she claimed to be waiting for her brother slash... husband, not meaning not like her brother was her husband, but that it some of the reports say it was her brother she said she was waiting for, others say it was her husband
brother slash her husband, like a murderer
slash.
Perhaps.
Like, kill you with a knife slash.
You're jumping ahead.
No, I'm not.
The people who saw her in her last days said she was anxious and distraught and exhibiting secretive behavior.
Ooh, look at that lady. She's got a big old dress on. She's being secretive. What do you think she's got in there?
Well, one of the things that was weird is she gave multiple aliases to them while she was there. Like, she kept on changing her story. Oh, now I'm
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. So she kept on changing up her story, which is really weird. She checked into a room on the fifth floor.
How tall was this place?
How many stories?
Yeah.
Five.
Okay. I'll buy it.
I don't know. So she checked into a room on the fifth floor, and 5 days after her arrival, they found her body, her dead body, was discovered on a staircase leading to the beach.
So that's
on the south side of the building.
So that's the back side of the building.
Exactly. She had suffered a gunshot wound to her head.
Oh, no.
Next to her body, they found a small handgun. And that led people to assume that it was a suicide. But apparently, the bullet found in her head did not match the gun found next to her. Which is kind of fishy.
Well, the whole thing is weird. Like, you could narrow in on every detail. Like, the fact that it was the cops that said the bullet didn't match the gun, right?
Right.
So what if that fact wasn't true to lead you off astray even more?
Well, oh, I see what you mean.
Like, if it was a dirty cop, then maybe he didn't think about the bullet not matching with the gun because he was a stupid cop, not a dirty cop. Oh, he's a
He's a doobity doo dog.
God damn.
A doobity doo doo. But that bop bop.
You know what I'm saying? You don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying, man.
So, what if it was planted on purpose to lead you astray? Off the trail.
It's kind of odd, you know, to have a gun with you on a Thanksgiving thing with your family, to bring a gun.
But she didn't have family. She had nobody.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, so, man, I'm getting lost in the sauce.
You are in the cranberry sauce, which is delicious with turkey.
That's an interesting point. The other thing that I was thinking is, if she was shot, what are the odds that no one would hear a gunshot and come out and see someone? You know what I mean? wait, let me say that again. If someone did shoot her, it seems like the time that someone would hear a gunshot, because that would be loud, people would run out and be like, what's that noise?
Right.
And they would quickly see the body, and no one reported seeing any cars or anyone running off.
The best time to murder somebody or shoot somebody is on the 4th of July. So this assassin or whatever picked the wrong holiday. It sounds like it was likely a murder, but then people also speculate that she killed herself because of depression, because she checked into this hotel on Thanksgiving, assuming to meet up with her boyfriend who told her that he was going to be there. And he didn't show up for 5 days straight. And on the fifth day, she took her life because she was so fucking sad.
It's still a mystery to this day what exactly happened. But the ghost of Kate Morgan is said to haunt the hotel, particularly in the room where she stayed. And many guests and staff have reported paranormal experiences and sightings related to her. Some of them include things like cold spots, flickering lights, and the feeling of a presence in the room.
What? Is there a specific room, or is it through the whole place?
They call it the Kate Morgan room.
That sounds like a fashion trend.
And it's on the fifth floor.
The Kate Morgan line.
But there's one more dark connection with this hotel.
Rhyming in time.
That deserves a mention. And that is Stephen King.
I'm sorry.
So Stephen King reportedly came up with the idea for the book 1408 based off this hotel, which is also a movie with John Cusack. So he was apparently inspired by both the death of Kate Morgan as well as the work of parapsychologist Christopher Chason and his investigations at the hotel.
He'll steal you, woman.
This guy, in 1992, Chason conducted a confidential assessment of the ongoing anomalous phenomena reported throughout the resort. The continuous 24-hour-a-day, 12-month investigation involved an expansive environment scanning and monitoring with both on-site technology throughout the property, including room and grounds, and remote scanning and monitoring technology operated dorms. God damn it. I can't say this.
Keep going.
Remote scanning.
Yeah, put that up in your face.
And monitoring technology operated from a mobile lab. So every aspect was analyzed, including temperature, electrostatic emissions, air current, air content, electromagnetic and geomagnetic spectrum, all types of radiation, vibration and movement, air pressure and humidity, and spectrum of light.
Jesus Christ, it sounds like a bunch of pointless stuff. Like, did it have heart rate in there and calories burned by the ghost?
Additionally, 1,100 people were confidentially interviewed, consisting of hotel guests, day visitors, hotel employees, workers, and contractors. After almost 10,000 hours of continuous on-site assessment, percentage of anomalous phenomena were documented that could not be scientifically explained. Some of the recurring phenomena included moving chairs and furniture, disembodied shadows, opening and closing of doors and windows, water faucets turning on and off, concentrations of extremely cold air, disembodied voices and footsteps, and lots more stuff.
Lots and lots of sex in there.
So this dude pretty much ran the most comprehensive ghost hunt, I think, to date, maybe.
What the fuck? He spent a year researching this place?
Yeah.
Which place was it again?
Hotel Del Coronado. Yeah.
He spent a year looking into this place. 24 hours a day? Like, did this guy sleep for a year?
No, it's not like he was watching a monitor. He just collected data for that year to go through.
My God. That guy had nothing to go
on. No girlfriend. Yeah, I know. So,
maybe he had a paranormal one.
Stephen King came up with that based off some of that stuff. And
spooky
naughtiness. He made the story 1408.
So, Stephen King heard about how haunted this fucking place was. And he's like, maybe I'll write a book about it.
Yeah, he drew all of his inspiration about this story from this really creepy place.
To 1408.
Yeah, which is actually a pretty good movie. Like, all jokes about Cusack aside, like, it's a good movie.
Pretty much any horror movie you see, it's probably written by Stephen King, including The Shining, starring Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall.
That's a good one.
It is a good one, and it's also based on a hotel.
Also?
What do you know?
Wow, man, I see his fucking system.
Whose system?
Stephen King. He just stays at hotels and fucking write stories about him.
He does. He's like a trip advisor, but like a haunted one.
Wait, The Shining is based off a hotel that is real?
Yes.
Seriously?
I think we should go stay there.
Where is it at?
It's in Colorado.
Wow, that's a very exotic Colorado.
It's in Colorado and it's in Estes Park.
In Colorado.
In Colorado, yeah. This hotel is called the Stanley Hotel.
Stanley.
And Stephen King and his wife stayed there in the winter, or not the winter, the fall of 1974. Mm-hmm. They were looking for a cool place to stay, and it got recommended to them. And they showed up at this hotel, and it was like dead. Because at the time, the Stanley wasn't opened through the winter time. They closed down for the whole winter.
What?
And they'd only be open for the summer times because it didn't have heating.
But they were like, it's Stephen King. Let's fucking get this place going.
No, they didn't know who the fuck Stephen King was.
Oh, 1975.
1974.
Whatever.
And they decided to stay there, even though nobody else was in the whole hotel. 140 rooms. they stayed in this hotel by them, just him and her and some of the wait staff. And they're like, okay, if you stay here, nobody else is here. And they're like, okay, we're still staying here. And they're like, okay.
Wait, like none of the wait staff?
Some of the wait staff are still there.
I see.
And this is where Jack Nicholson. This is where...
Same person.
Stanley Kubrick. This is where fucking Stephen King got his idea for The Shining at this hotel.
His wife really pissed him off, and he's like, and then the guy loses his mind and tries to kill
His wife.
Yeah.
Because she's just always nagging and wants to do stuff with him. No, Stephen King stayed the night there with his wife. She went to bed kind of early. After she went to bed, he roamed around the hotel by himself.
At night, in the dark?
Well, the lights were on.
Okay. I wonder if he rode a bike around like that little kid did in the movie.
I hope so.
Downey. Red and Rap.
Yeah. Gosh. I guess fucking should have got an Oscar, scary. That little kid.
Gosh. So he walked around exploring. What did he find?
He found a bar.
Did it have a ghostly barkeep?
No. It actually had a bartender, and he got a drink there. Just kind of like the story. He went down to the bar, hung out there by himself, had a drink, went back to bed. And while he was asleep, he had a nightmare.
So he dreamt about The Shining.
They had a son at the time when they stayed at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But he dreamt that his son was getting chased down the hallways in this hotel by a fire hose.
By a fire hose?
Yeah, like it was snaking around all the hallways chasing his son.
What?
And then he woke up like in a sweat, and he was like, fuck, like that dream was so vivid. And he went out of the room and had a cigarette. And the story goes, what Stephen King says is that by the time his cigarette was done, he had the whole plot and storyline for The Shining in his mind.
What?
Solidified from that dream.
I believe it, man. That dude poops out stories like no one. He writes them so fast.
He does. And it's amazing they're good.
They're really good. I think I've read a little bit of his stuff.
So, where are we at?
So, we got the idea for The Shining.
So, yeah, the history behind the Stanley Hotel, man. Mm-hmm. My God.
Lay it on me.
So, let's go back to the early... You don't know where I'm going.
I was making sound effects for you.
We're going back in time. You didn't even know where I was going back to.
Yeah, but I was helping.
The early 1900s. We got this guy named Freeland Oscar. What's his other name? What's his last name?
What?
Stanley. The hotel.
What? Wow. He couldn't think of that. Okay. It's a classy name.
Okay. This guy, Freeland Oscar Stanley. This guy was a fucking genius for his time. He was like a little miniature Tesla. He had a twin brother, and they were both kind of like these geniuses that were entrepreneurs, and they were American inventors.
Just like us, man.
Just like us. We're inventing shit on
geniuses.
The fly. And most of his ventures were with him and his twin brother. Mm-hmm. Like they did everything together, kind of like you and I.
Oh my gosh.
These two guys.
Twins.
They were twins.
Just like those little girls in The Shining.
That's kind of creepy to think about, but I'm going to continue on.
Go ahead.
So this guy was a badass for his time. And the only thing is that in the early 1900s, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis.
God, everyone,
which
man.
Seems to be the common thread between our last few episodes,
actually.
The Great White Death in Edgar Allan Poe, and it was also in the Edinburgh vaults. Like, what the fuck? We can't get away from tuberculosis right now.
Yeah.
So this guy had tuberculosis. His doctor gave him 6 months to live. He's like, fuck, I need, like, the best prescription back then was to get to the mountain air. So
really?
Yeah. So him and his wife, Freeland and Flora, they were living in Massachusetts and they moved over to Colorado. He had 6 months to live and it completely went away within like 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
And him and his wife like fell in love with the area and he was like, God, like this place is so cool. Let's build a hotel. And so they started building the Stanley Hotel and it was finished in 1909. They had this huge opening. he like did this place up so fucking nice. Like, this was one of the few hotels in the world to have electricity.
What?
So you had rich people coming from all over the world to his hotel.
Because it had electricity?
Yeah. So that was, it opened in 1909. Okay, fast forward 2 years. Thank you. There's some flooding in the area, and the hotel loses power, electricity. So Freeland takes it upon himself to install an auxiliary gas system.
Why not? He's fucking Jimmy Neutron.
He's a fucking beast, man. Like, anything, he'll get it done, man. So he installs this gas system too, so that way the guests can have light in each room, because there was no electricity at the time. So, but it was gas powered. And this is where it gets bad, because there is a room, 217.
Uh-huh.
This room had a gas buildup.
Oh, no.
Everything was according to plan, except this room had a little gas leak in it, and it built up gas in there. And one of the chambermaids, one of the head maids of the place, Elizabeth Wilson.
God damn it, Elizabeth.
She was, you know, going to the room to maintain it with a candle, and it blew the whole hotel.
So she didn't make it, is what you're saying?
No, she did.
Oh, fuck, man. Like, I don't know if I'd want to after no, that.
There's,
like, did she look like Deadpool?
No. There's some crazy reports about this incident. With a candle, it blew up 10% of the hotel. She went flying from the second floor down into the first floor. Down into the first floor,
uh-huh,
into the entrance, broke both her ankles, went into a coma for several months, woke up, and started working for Stanley Hotel again, like, for the rest of her life.
He's like, that's your year's leave right there.
Like, that's your PTO right there. Yeah. That's your vacation time, I'm sorry.
And he probably fucking made the leak on accident.
Yeah.
Happened.
I'm sure he
watch.
Felt really bad about it.
Yeah.
But 217 is the room that she went into.
Got exploded.
And
up.
It blew up. And that room is actually where Stephen King stayed with his wife. Probably unknowingly.
What? Out of all the rooms they could have stayed in?
Who knows? Maybe Stephen King slipped the fucking receptionist like a 20.
Hey,
he was like,
put me in the most fucked up room.
What's fucked up here?
What's fucked up?
I won't tell my wife here. Just tell me what's fucked up.
What about the naked old lady?
What?
Is there anything to that?
To The Shining?
Yeah.
Stephen King thought about, he had that idea either before or after The Nightmare. I can't remember. But he went into the bathroom and he pulled back the curtain of the shower. And he was like, what if somebody died in here? Like, he had this idea that struck him that what if somebody died in this tub? And it added to his story.
Man, what fun it must be to be Stephen King, man.
Like, everything is a fucking story.
But,
so,
okay, go
back ahead. To Elizabeth Wilson, the lady that
blew up
part of the Stanley. She died in 1950.
Oh.
I know, bless her heart. She was a good maid, man. If she came back,
a good maid, man. That ain't no woman, man.
She is assumed to still haunt the Stanley. Her spirit never left from 1950. People report that if they stay in 217 or other rooms of the hotel, their room gets tidier.
What? I want one of those ghosts. Why can't I get one of those ghosts, man? What do I gotta do?
I know. I really want one.
Do I gotta blow up a maid in my hotel room?
Yeah, you gotta fucking kill a maid, man. Jesus
damn,
Christ.
That's so much work, though. I wish I could just have a ghost that would clean up after me.
But the reports are that people's clothes are, when they wake up, the room is tidier, their clothes are folded, their suitcases are organized when they weren't before, and things are put in place like perfectly as if housekeeping came in overnight. And they know that's not possible.
That's creepy, man. Imagine waking up and your shit's being organized in like thin air. I would poop myself and then she'd have to clean it up.
Or it's not being organized, but it's all organized already. Like, what the fuck? Like, did we organize last yesterday? What the fuck? Like,
that's like, a wholesome ghost right there.
Like, Either scenario is creepy. Like, either there's a ghost folding your shit, or a housemaid came in through your door with the key while you were sleeping and folded your shit for you.
Yeah, either one's creepy. But she's like the best employee, man. Even she after is. Death, she's doing her job.
She's employee of the century. Like, not the month. Employee of the century.
Every employer would want that. Like, oh, you died, but you still come into work?
But you still come into work. You know you don't have to come to work. You're dead. Take some PTO in heaven. Do what you gotta do.
Oh, man.
There's also something else you probably don't know about The Shining, is the movie that Stanley Kubrick directed is way different than the book.
In what way?
In a lot of ways. And ways that I couldn't tell you because I don't know enough, but there's a few that I know for sure, which is, it's like part of the character development. Jack Nicholson, you saw signs of his insanity really early in the movie. His character develops very slowly in Stephen King's novel to where you don't see his crazy side till near the very end. Whereas in The Shining, he's like crazy in the very beginning.
It's those fucking eyebrows. It's not his fault.
And then there's a lot of little details. And actually, Stephen King was very dissatisfied with the movie after it came out.
I believe it.
So much so that in 1996 or 97, he created a mini TV series called The Shining, based on his book, The Shining.
Yeah, and I didn't know about it, so it probably wasn't that.
No. The Shining movie by Stanley Kubrick has like an 8.2 or 3 on IMDb. His TV show has like a 6.
Take and, that, Stephen.
Yeah, take that,
fucking
Stephen King.
Eat it.
Stake that fucking king. Stephen King's even in the movie, in the TV show himself, as a cameo.
Oh, like Garth Marenghi? Like star, screenwriter, imaginary.
Yeah, pretty much.
Join my world of horrors. Step inside my brain.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a TV show, The Shining.
Me neither.
From the early mid-90s. But apparently this TV show is closer adaptation to the book, of course, because he's helping direct it. Like, for instance, Jack Nicholson, when he's crazy, he's carrying around a fucking croquet mallet in the book. And that's what he... Yeah.
A croquet mallet?
A croquet mallet.
I mean, like, I play myself some croquet, but those things aren't very scary.
No, no. So, some people were defending Stanley Kubrick, like, okay, yeah, he changed the story quite a bit, but he tried to make it scarier.
Yeah, ain't no one want to be watching croquet.
No, 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 no. No.
Fuck that.
Hell no. No croquet up in here. Yeah, Stanley Kubrick, I think, did a service to the audiences by changing it. So back to the Stanley Hotel, the hauntings of it and whatever. There's
what the fuck ever.
There's like, I think it's 4 stories, maybe 5 stories with the maintenance level on the top. But the 4th floor is supposedly the most haunted. It's supposed to be haunted by children. Like, the guests that stay there hear children running up and down the halls while they stay there.
Man, there's nothing creepier than children.
There really isn't.
Gosh.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Is it their energy? Is it their size?
They're crazy.
Is it their intelligence or lack thereof?
I don't know.
So the 4th floor is supposed to be the haunted. The 2nd floor is obviously 217, where Stephen King stayed.
Kaboom.
But that room isn't supposed to be quite as haunted as the 4th floor. There's a room on the 4th floor that's room 428, which is called the Cowboy Attic.
Cowboy Attic?
That's the name of the room.
I don't want to go in there, man.
Supposedly, if you stay in there, you might experience furniture moving, footsteps, and the apparition of a ghostly cowboy at the foot of your bed.
Damn. Does he say, this ain't my first rodeo?
He says, yeehaw!
Man, that's so scary. What room is that again?
428.
428.
And I feel like when we get time, we should go check out the Stanley Hotel, man.
Colorado, that ain't far.
So, yeah, if we go back to the sort of the history of the Stanley Hotel for a second, it's also interesting because, what's his name? Freeland.
There's so many characters.
Freeland O. Oscar So part of the Stanley Hotel, there's a concert hall, and what's his name? Freeland.
Oh my gosh. Freeland O. Oscar. Wait, is it?
F.O. Oscar, man.
Freeland.
F.O. Meyer.
No, is it Freeland O. Oscar? What's his middle name?
I don't care, man. Just tell me what I need to know.
Oh my God, it's Freeland Oscar Stanley. Freeland Oscar Stanley. It makes sense his last name is Stanley because he bought the hotel
again.
Freeland Oscar Stanley. He built a concert hall at like a separate building away from the hotel because his wife, Laura, always wanted to be a performer. So he made this theater for her so she could perform. But some guest reports seeing a figure that looks like Flora in a white dress walking across the stage at night and then disappearing. And then to get a little darker, there's a basement of the concert hall. And back in the day, probably within the last 40 or 50 years, there was a homeless girl that found refuge in the basement of the concert hall and started living in there.
Is she still homeless? Has she found a home?
When does a homeless person not be homeless?
No, sir. You ain't gonna like the way this story ends.
What happened?
So this girl snuck into the basement, started living in there, and the security of the hotel would close down the concert hall every night. And they would go down into the basement and make sure nobody's in there.
Yeah, that's fucking creepy. I wouldn't want to be them.
Well, I'm sure they had flashlights and guns. They'd go down there, and when they would go down there, she would hide behind a door that accessed the underground tunnels.
Fuck. Why are there underground tunnels? God damn, what you doing, Freeland? What you doing, Stanley? Why'd he build those?
The underground tunnels are actually kind of common for like big buildings for maintenance reasons. She would hide behind that door because they never looked behind there. But one day when the security went down there, they found her in the basement. Like she forgot they were coming or they went down there earlier and they kicked her out, this homeless girl. And it was in the winter time and she froze to death.
You got a hotel and you can't
spare
one?
You got a whole hotel and you can't spare one bedroom. You probably got like five people staying in there.
Mm-hmm.
So this girl froze to death and her spirit haunts the hotels and the concert hall basement.
The basement? Man, fuck that.
Apparently, she loved dum-dum suckers.
What are those?
Those little suckers you get at like the dentist. So if you go into the basement or the concert hall with the dum-dum in your hand, it'll start moving around.
What?
Because she's trying to take it out of your hand.
She's trying to get that dum-dum.
Yeah, that dum-dum.
Mm-hmm. Man, this does not make me want to stay at any hotels, man.
What? No, we should totally stay at the Stanley.
Okay.
Except room 217 is booked out for like 5 years for Halloween.
Okay, I have a few tasks for you listeners. One, I want to know what your favorite Stephen King story is, because I want to read more of it, and I want to know what's your favorite.
Yeah, the only story I know is The Shining.
That's the only one?
That's the only one I've ever heard of Stephen King.
That he's made a lot. Like, there's that one where the toasters come alive. There's also It, the goat, or the
goat?
Clown. The clown? I was going to say ghost. Yeah, so let us know what your favorite one is. I also want to know, have you seen that Stephen King TV show about The Shining? And is it good? Because I might have to watch that eventually. I feel like there was a third thing. Oh, well, let's fucking wrap it up. This was your host, Mayan.
This is your host, Dinah.
Thank you guys for joining us for the second installment of Spooktober.
BWCS. Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
Yeah.
Had to say it, both of them. God.
Slack. And remember to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube.
And listening on Spotify.
Yeah.
And whatever the fuck you, however the hell you're listening to us, just, you know, give us a little light tap, follow and like and make our dreams come true.
Please, sir.
Please, sir. Can we have some more?
Yeah. And Oh, the last thing I was going to say was, if you have any hotels that you know of that are like insanely haunted that you want us to look at or research, or just a place in general,
talk about, yeah,
let us know, because
a haunted place,
we're always looking for fresh topics, yeah. And we just go off what's interesting. So if you have one in mind, let us know.
Yeah, some fresh ass stuff. Send us
your fresh ass stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.
Good night.